5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. For over 100 years, European soccer academies have scouted and hand-selected youth players to come to their facility and begin training at an elevated level. This isn't dads coaching their sons and daughters through weekend youth leagues. This is the big time, where unique skill sets are identified and honed starting at just 7 and 8 years old. These programs aren't a lottery ticket, where success and patient development is guaranteed. Quite the opposite. Players come in every year, and if they don't make the proper advancements, show the right mental toughness, or provide a strong enough glimpse of their athletic ceiling, they're bounced from the program without fanfare. The youth academy of the famed Dutch club Ajax is aptly called De Toekomst, which means the future. The Ajax Youth Academy is not a boarding school. Their players all live within a 35-mile radius of Amsterdam, and the academy sends out buses to pick up the youth players halfway through their school day, then tutors them for the second half of the day in academics before hitting the training pitch. Other youth academies in Europe, like IFX Valencia International Soccer Academy in Spain, are boarding schools, a full-time commitment to the players' athletic and academic development. This concept of youth identification and then a deep focus on building the athlete within is pretty common in Europe, but relatively new in America. IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida is the most successful brand of youth athletic and academic development in the United States, operating camps and boarding school programs in football, tennis, soccer, baseball, basketball, golf, lacrosse, and track and field cross country. Elite athletes seeking the opportunity to develop under the watchful eye of professional coaches flock to the Gulf Coast in hopes of reaching their true potential. Traditional high school settings no longer provide the necessary training and focus, while the IMG Academy model is full of success stories. The baseball program in particular at IMG has been extremely productive. 185 Division I commitments since 2006. 12 national tournaments won, 34 student athletes earning All-American honors, 29 student athletes selected in the Major League Baseball First Year Players Draft, 30 alumni have made Major League Baseball appearances. Now that is proof of concept. Today's guest is Colby Herr, program and business manager for the Baseball Academy at IMG, doing everything from manning the budget to team travel to event coordination and management. But let's let him tell you more about it. Here's Colby Herr, program and business manager for baseball at IMG Academy. Hey, Colby, how's it going today?
Awesome, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm a little jealous, though, because it is rainy and cold where I am in Pennsylvania, and you're in the sun in Florida. So I think you're having a better time of the weather than I am.
Yeah, just peeking outside my office window right now, and I see some palm trees and blue skies, and the sun happens to be out.
Oh, you have to go there. Thanks. Really appreciate that. So before we get into the background and development of young baseball players, let's start with you and your background and development. You played baseball up here in this area at York College in Pennsylvania. When did you figure out you wanted it to be more than just a playing career? You wanted to like work in baseball and you wanted to follow this for your career. When did you kind of figure that moment out?
I always had a passion for sports, and that at a young age, I played multiple sports, maybe not on a, in a team setting or with the school, lowered off in high school where I went to school. I was always pretty active in athletics, loved gym class. And then in high school, I knew I wanted to play baseball in college. It just was a matter of where. I was dabbling with a couple locations and honestly a couple career paths. It was business education teacher. It was an IT, like information technology. It was sport management. And I really nestled into sport management in that career path. When I had taken a class in high school, it was our sport marketing class. It was a new class offered, and the teacher was fun. We basically touched base on all the articles, ESPN or Sports Illustrated, and, you know, kind of thought on a different level of how this could impact society or the organization that was involved. And then really, really loved, you know, did some work experiences with the Hershey Bears, the Washington, or the Harrisburg Senators, Washington National affiliate. Just found York College. My high school coach was like, hey, you know, would love to see if you could play at York College. Have you ever heard of it? And I said, and I'm 45 minutes away from York College. I said, no, I never heard of it. And he's like, yeah, the coach is really interested in you. So a week later, set up a tour, go there, look on their website. They had just become one of 11 at the time accredited sport management institutions via, I think it was NASM.
Yep.
And then coach was like, hey, we got a spot for you. I'm like, all right, this is awesome. You know, if you feel wanted, you feel welcomed, and the facilities were awesome. The sport management program was up and coming, very, very ambitious, and basically decided almost on the spot. So
that's cool.
Then it's history from there.
So you graduated about 5 years ago. You played a little pro ball. You did a little coaching. You did a little scouting. And then you joined the staff at IMG Academy. How much has being a former student athlete helped you in your transition to the sports business world? Because I say that because I have a lot of respect for student athletes and the time management, the focus on training and academics, the leadership skills, the competitiveness, all those skills that are necessary to thrive in a sports environment translate really well to the working world as well. Did you find that to be true?
100%. I think what I really took from being a student athlete is you can manage a lot of things. Most people in today's world can handle that. They're very savvy with their phones, and it seems like multitasking is, even though it's been proven you can't, it seems like it's becoming more of a habit. But I really noticed that coming off of my course load at York, I tried to take as many courses as I could. And in fact, I couldn't graduate. I walked in May, but I couldn't graduate until August. I had to do a work experience to finish my degree, but baseball kind of got in the way of that in my spring of my senior year. So I added another minor, added business admin to my minor, and then filled up my course load for my senior year, which I think most guys or athletes would just kind of coast. And then you really, when you get into the real world, you really take a step back and you're like, wow, I handled all that in college. You know, you're handling a 40-game schedule, or, you know, football, the rigorous two days, and, or, you know, soccer fall and spring. I mean, baseball's fall and spring, but not as much. You really can appreciate the level of intensity that you have to work at, attention to detail, the amount of focus. And you've got to kind of reel yourself in from the play side of it to, right now I just got done playing a game and I got to hop on the bus and now I got to do, you know, 3 papers or some classwork that I missed, or maybe I need to touch base with the teacher to see what I need to make up, what I missed, how can I prepare for the next missed day that I'm going to have, because it's going to happen probably next week. So I really am able to handle a lot of day-to-day stuff. My job consists of a lot of day-to-day, and things pop up and fighting the adversity and discovering what's a priority. So I would say those are some of the little characteristics that I have been ingrained in myself since I was a student athlete and carried over to the workplace.
So IMG is a one-of-a-kind experience in the United States, a full-time boarding school focused on academics and advanced year-round athletic training. Personally, what drew you to this particular opportunity? It sounds like, I mean, you're in the lap of luxury out there in Florida, and you get the great weather, and you get to play baseball and be involved in all of it, or maybe you don't get to play as much anymore, but you get to be around your sport you love all the time. What's special about IMG Academy and this current experience?
It's funny to say that, you know, what drew me to this particular opportunity. In fact, my junior year, I think it was the spring of my junior year, early spring, January or something, we're playing. And one of my friends, he's a soccer player, he was a senior, and he was doing his work experience at IMG Academy. I didn't really think anything of it. He was like, man, my roommate's a baseball player, and at the time they were both interns, and he's like, hey, dude, you would love this place. And I said, really? Never heard of it. I had a couple options for an internship back home, in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where I'm from, in the area. And then, you know, I looked up, Googled IMG Academy, and you're like, holy heck, this is like a sports paradise.
Right.
This is like Disney World of sports. And so discovered it, talked to the roommate who's a baseball guy, and then finally got in touch with who was my boss as an intern, Nick Phelps, and basically picked his brain a little bit, and next thing you know, applied, and I was down in Bradenton, Florida, 2 months later. So things kind of moved pretty quick, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. And so it is a one of a kind experience. I mean, we have, just in baseball alone, we've got 6 full size fields. We've got 15 plus cages. We've got a couple half fields, which for those who don't know half field is, it's basically a practice infield, full size infield. You see it a lot of minor league and major league complexes. And then we've got 600 plus acres of other stuff. So, other facilities, we've got 16 or more soccer fields, 60 or more tennis courts. I think we have 4 or 6 basketball courts. We have 30,000 square feet of weight rooms, 2 of those. And then we've got, 3 dorms. One was just built in August. We just built a hotel. We just opened up a campus center and our academic building in 2015. We're working on plans to extend the academic building since we're growing so much. So it's almost a little sports metropolis here. Pop down in Bradenton, Florida.
It's really cool. Just the idea of being your own kind of sports community. Your current title is business and program manager for baseball. I know no 2 days the same. I know you have events and tournaments and all kinds of things that go on. But what would you say are the main kind of key components of your role? What does success look like if you nail these things? Like, what are you judged upon?
Success, I'm pretty hard on myself. So success, I would consider, is either a day or a week or a season that goes by with minimal errors or blunders. I would say that, you know, every day you come in, you check, hey, do we have umpires? Is the bus good for these teams that are, and we have 9 teams. So are the buses good if we have got away games? Umpires good with home games, notifying the grounds guys if we have changes in the schedule, or just basically updating them, hey, here are the games today. Working with our equipment manager on uniforms, working with our food and beverage department if there's games that interfere with dining times, so they'll get just some meals to go. Working on pay advances, if it's entry fees, if it's meals, making sure the coaches have their cards ready for either pre or post game meals. And that's pretty much day to day stuff. And then a lot of the behind the scenes stuff where it doesn't really happen every day would be, you know, handling the budget, forecasting, schedules for the next either week, month, any events that we have to plan for, meet with those, any sponsorship, new business that we would potentially want to have on our campus in a baseball specific realm, or even academy wide that would fit a couple sports, kill a couple birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a lot of, I'm watching the grounds guy right now, water the field. I think it's a lot of keeping the fires to a minimum, and if there are fires, there's going to be fires, and putting those fires out in a responsive manner. So setting the priority list, you know, I have my door shut here just so I can get some time here to, because I know there's new guys popping in wanting to do stuff, because it's a pretty open door policy here, but in my office. So
there's always something
that's
happening.
That's about it. It's a,
there's always something happening. There's always something that needs doing, yeah. Or yeah. I mean, you have a lot on your plate.
Exactly.
It's almost like you're an athletic director with everything kind of falling under your purview for the baseball side of things. What do you think, now that you've been in it for a little over 3 years, it sounds like, what part of the role mm-hmm. Has proven to be the most challenging for you? Is there a certain aspect that really is the hardest part that you have to deal with?
Yeah, I would say I can see myself in terms of what my role is, it would be, I guess, an assistant athletic director, because we have a director of baseball here, Dan Simons. He handles a lot of the higher visible stuff. He'll handle more parent inquiries, you know, speaking to potential new students, stuff like that. I handle more of the operations. So yeah, it would be more of a, maybe an athletic director, a baseball operation, if you will.
Yeah.
And then I would say that the biggest challenge that I face on a daily or per season basis is the priority list, is what needs done now. There's sometimes you have to bury your head in the computer to crunch some numbers or to get some documents finished that, you know, other departments or even outside vendors or event ops personnel are waiting for. Because you can get lost in the day-to-day just hustle and bustle, and not really dig into some of the more long-term or impactful items that you have on your list. I don't really make to-do lists. I'll just jot stuff down. I'm not a big fan of to-do lists, just because it gets overwhelming at times. So
that's true.
I would say sticking to the priority list and what is the priority, and then dealing with, it's something I've been working since I got here. We've got 20 coaches, and just working with different personalities and different ages and experiences and backgrounds. How to manage that at what I was 23 when I came in here, and now 26. So it's, as a young professional, it can be definitely life changing in terms of how you're going to develop as a sports professional.
So let's talk tournaments. The IMG National Classic is one of the premier prep baseball tournaments. What do you, in your 3 years now, you've seen this, you've had the tournaments, the National Classic's on for 6, you've been there for 3. How have you seen it change, and what are the keys that you've learned in running a successful event like this?
Yeah, so Nick, myself, and another gentleman operate this tournament. We'll start almost a year in advance with, you know, weekly meetings and making sure we're building a list of what needs done and how we can get better from the year prior, crunching the numbers on the financials, making sure it's going to be a profitable tournament, or ways to increase revenue streams, maybe add a revenue stream. Anything like that. And then in terms of running a successful event, I would say it's the preparation. It's the customer service. If you're Brian, you're going to show up with your team, you're going to want to show up and know exactly where you're going. You're going to want people to feel like you're the guy. We love having you here. So that's really what we strive for. We just got done with a championship game yesterday, and you know, everyone was pleased. We really try to pride ourselves on customer service, providing social media content. I've got to dig through some pictures that I took through the last 4 days and provide these to the head coaches so their players can get some goodies to take home with them in terms of posting on their social channels and spreading the name of the tournament and spreading. It was a great time in Florida. We had some outside teams in terms of out-of-state teams, I mean. So we had a team from Maryland, New Jersey, and those guys really can spread the word and make this event just blow up because of their word of mouth. And then it boils down to even, you know, if you got to empty a trash can, you got to empty a trash can if it's overflown and your accommodations crew is stuck up with something else. So I think it's an all hands on deck approach, and we work together. We do a great job and communicating with each other and just putting a smile on people's faces is really what it's all about, and making sure the kids enjoy their time while they're here on our campus.
You mentioned in your LinkedIn profile that you've helped oversee a substantial growth in revenue and decrease in expenses for the Classic, as well as being in charge of reviewing and developing all financial reports. The reason I bring this up isn't to give you a pat on the back, but because I wonder how important it is to have a background or at least a working knowledge in the financial aspects of sports. Not just being a fan or a former athlete, having that actual skill in the finances, how much has that helped you?
It's helped me a ton. I've always been a fan. I've been quick with numbers. I've been good at doing stuff in my head and thinking of on a financial, more of a financial mindset. And when I came in here, that's what I was most excited about, was I was the guy. I'm crunching the numbers with all of our travel, with all of our logistics, meals, hotels, flights, and then even operational spend, any training equipment we have, facility upkeep. So that really, I like seeing the numbers come in and go out. I like doing a good job of stretching what we have. And I would say that I didn't have as much of a financial background as what I'm handling now. So I focused more on sports management in college, but I did have that business admin minor, and that really helped me with some lettering, some bookkeeping, and forecasting. I think is one of the most challenging things to do. You're just trying to not guess, but educated guess on what's going to happen in the next year or the next month. And I wouldn't say it's super important to have a background, but I would say that you've got to have the willingness to learn different financial terms or processes or ways of doing things. And then as an athlete, you know what it should look like. And until you start crunching the numbers, you know, there's some stuff that we do, and I'm just thinking, wow, it costs that much for a bus, or it costs this much for an entire year's worth of baseballs.
Yeah.
Because when I was playing, you don't really think about that stuff. You don't, even when I was in college, you don't really know what a coach bus to Southern Virginia costs. But it's a wonder why we had to be so precise. And when a game was canceled, you know, when we cancel a game here and the bus shows up, we get charged for the bus. So that's how important it is to communicate and stuff like that. So as an athlete, you understand, you know what it should look like, but you don't really realize that until you have to handle those sort of day-to-day stuff or those tasks. And it's really opened my eyes, and I've been able to communicate with the coaches that I've played with, the coaches that I've had, and express those things. And I think they feel good that at least one of their players understands that this is not as easy as it had looked, because these guys are good at what they do, especially, you know, at the Division III level. You don't have much help in terms of, you know, DBOs and grad assistants and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's totally different. So player development has become a big trend in the last 10 years, let's say. There seems to be a much greater focus on developing the athletes rather than just having them on your team. You created a player development plan at IMG for the baseball students, and you talked about your progress of academics and sports and athletic and personal development and college placement. As you kind of went through this process, and you guys are grabbing them early at a high school age, and like you said, you have people coming from different parts of the country and different backgrounds, what did you kind of learn about the student athletes and what it takes to help them reach their top potential?
Yeah, we have a really unique way of building a process of development on our campus. And it starts from on the field to in the classroom to then in the weight room, or what we call our performance center, because it encompasses a lot more than just weights. So I developed this PDF document that just can track if a player, what they do on the field. A coach can write down, you know, different attributes, good, bad, improvements, any sort of recommendations or tips. And then the player will view this and look at it from time to time or as needed basis, and go through the baseball side. And then they'll go through the academics. So they'll work with our academic advisors, and it'll show GPAs of courses, any good job, bad job, or improvements that need to be made in the classroom. And then finally, our athletic and personal development sector of the development process is hosted in our performance center, and that encompasses the physical side of it, the mental side of it, and the visual side of it. So we have vision classes that our student athletes will take. We've got mental leadership classes and focusing on, you know, for example, one of them focuses on how to become a great leader off the field. And, you know, when you go to college and you graduate, what are you going to do, and how do you display yourself in the real world? So there's some of these courses that, as a high schooler, I don't think anybody else in the country can have the access to. So that's what makes us really unique. And we focus a lot on development. We focus a lot on, hey, you got to get your 8 hours of sleep. You know, it's a grind here in terms of the student schedule. They go from 7:30 to 12:30 lunch, and they're out at the field at 1, and they go till, you know, sometimes 6:30 with their on-field stuff, and then their APD, their athletic and personal development. So we're really a holistic approach and just developing the player from the inside out. And I think if students will buy into the program, they'll see a tremendous benefit.
You look at the alumni of IMG Academy over the years, and it's kind of a who's who of sports. I mean, you see so many names that are recognizable and have come up in such a successful way. As I mentioned earlier, the program's pretty unique in the United States, but relatively common in, like, European soccer, let's say. The academic, athletic academies start pretty young. You know, this seems like a trend more in Europe than it is in the United States of having the full-time programs dedicated to athletics and academics. What do you think? We'll finish up with this. What do you think? Do you think this trend of schools dedicated to athletics and academics will continue to grow in the U.S.? It sounds like IMG is growing exponentially from what you're saying. Do you think there's going to be a trend of this taking over in more parts of the country?
I do. I don't know how quickly it will grow, but I do believe that there will be schools or academies that pop up, you know, across the country. I don't know a specific region that would be more popular than others, but you got to look at climates. So we're in a pretty favorable climate. So year-round athletics is very easy compared to a New England school where you're outside 5 months out of the year, 6 months out of the year. So that's what we have on our side. But I do believe that, you know, they're going to focus on athletics and at an early age, and it's never going to stop. So I really think it's going to blow up and become more popular, not just in Bradenton, but, you know, you could maybe see one in the Arizona or California region where, you know, you're going to attract that market, or internationally have the students travel to those areas, and it would be a quicker trip.
Well, Colby, it sounds like you guys have a ton of really interesting things happening at IMG Academy, and you're expanding and growing, and the cool tournaments that you're having, and all the different development you're doing amongst the players. You guys are doing a great service out there, and it's a really cool opportunity that you guys present. So thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing a little bit more about the IMG Academy and a baseball team there.
Awesome. Yeah. Can't wait to get outside here, stretch the legs a little bit, and you should definitely get down here and give this place a peek. It's pretty special.
Yeah, I'd love to, especially since I'm looking out the window and it's pouring rain out and it's about 45 degrees. So, you know, you keep rubbing it in, Colby. No, thanks. You know this Pennsylvania weather.
Really,
it's no good.
I appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. Thanks a lot, Colby. Thanks to Colby for teaching us more about the Academy experience at IMG. I hope all of you former student athletes were listening intently. Colby made it very clear, you as athletes have a leg up in the industry if you leverage it the right way. Be ready to show off your leadership, your understanding of the game, your teamwork, coachability. These are the soft skills and signs of maturity that sports employers love. Thanks as always for tuning into the show. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe, publish a positive review, share with your friends. We want to keep growing the reach of this show, getting more and more incredible guests, and reaching out to more people in need of advice for their sports career. And just a reminder, we're on episode 175, but the advice and information shared in every single episode is just as relevant today as it was the day we published. We create evergreen topics and conversations so that you can access all of the past episodes and continue learning how to be the best possible candidate for jobs in the sports industry. So go back, listen, learn. All the episodes are just as good today as they were the day we published them. Trust me, it'll be time well spent. And join our private Facebook group. Search for the Work in Sports podcast on Facebook, answer a few simple questions so I know you're a real person, and join the group. Network, ask questions, learn. Thanks again for listening, and thanks to Colby. Now, it's time to get back to work.